What have I got here? I love my church. Number four, week four. Let's just pray. So I was actually speaking to a group of pastors this week, and they said, are you nuts? What are you speaking on? Giving? Are you nuts? You usually wait for another pastor from another church or another city or another state or another country to come in and talk about giving. And I said, no. God's told me I have to do this. I didn't want to, but God told me I had to do this. So I'm doing it. So I just want to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will use me as your vessel this morning, that all the words that come from my mouth will be from you. And Lord, I pray that everyone sitting in the seats here right now, Lord, will hear your word. Lord, I pray right now, let their eyes, let their ears, let their hearts, let their souls be in tune with you, the Holy Spirit, this morning. And let this transform our minds and the way we think, in Jesus' name. Amen. So you ready? Shake it out. Shake it out. I am. Whew, I'm sweating. So the projected aim is to help people recognize that sacrificing, okay, and meeting needs are abundant expressions of love. And the key passage this morning will be Acts chapter 4, 32 to 35. But before I get started, does anyone know what this is? It's a box. It's a chest. It's a trunk. It's a what? A treasure chest. Yep. It's a treasure chest. They're made to hold things what? That are precious, aren't they? They're made to hold things that are altogether precious to us. And at the end of our time together, I hope this one here holds a lot, a bunch of love for our church. How many of you have either got a hope chest like this or a smaller one that you have kept or that you're keeping right now for someone else? Who has got little chests in their homes that you put little things in, little treasures in, to keep for the future? Anyone? Anyone? Really? Only two, three people? Sure. Maybe you didn't have an actual love hope chest, but you did have something precious that you wanted to save and pass down to the generations. Has anyone got that? Something they want to hold on to and pass down to the generations. Okay, these treasures we hang on to, we don't do it for hoarding. Well, I hope that's not why. But we hang on to them because we know that they might mean something to those that are coming behind us. I mean, I've got, this is my chest, and this is what I have at home. And I've got all my love letters from my daughters. I've got little Star Wars figurines that I'm keeping, I don't know, from my grandchildren or something. I don't know. I keep them in there. They're not in here now. I've put them at home. But I've got things that I've done in the past, and I've put them in there just for keepsake, but also to hand on to my children, to their grandchildren, because I don't want to ever be forgotten in my generation. I want to be known to my grandchildren, to my great-grandchildren. And this is one way of I can do that, by keeping things that are precious to me. Maybe it's great-grandma's change purse with a story attached about making it to a new life in the land of opportunity. Regardless of the reason, it's being saved because it holds hope, it holds promise, it holds memories and values for the future. And to put it in a box for the time being is actually a sacrifice. You can't use it right now because you want it available for someone else to have hold in the future. It's that exact concept that we see played out in the early church. And the one very serious way we get to love our church. As you know, we are all about community here at Hillside. Now, I'd like to ask a young man to come up and do this morning's Bible reading. His name is Darcy Wynn. He's in year 10 at Hillside College. He attends youth group and also attends the midweek Bible study group. He also helps out in the back there, serving in the on the video. So Darcy, would you like to come up and do this morning's Bible reading? That's from Acts chapter 4, verse 32-35.
And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. So that's...
Hey, Darcy, while you're there, you're in year 10. How old are you?
15.
You're 15?
Yes.
You've eaten too much chicken. So what do you want to be when you grow up? I can tell you what I want to be when I grow up, but I mean, I don't find that funny at all.
I don't actually know.
You don't know?
I'm still thinking.
Still thinking?
Yeah.
That's something we can all pray for you about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's just pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just lift Darcy now and we just pray, Lord, as he does his school, year 10, as he does year 10 this year and he enters into the leaving years next year. We pray, Lord, that you will make his path so straight that he will know that what you want him to do. Lord, we pray for his gifting now. We pray, Lord, that this gifting will be evident to him. So we pray, Holy Spirit, bless him, guide him and direct him. And Lord, we just pray that this year will be a great stepping stone into year 11 and 12. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thanks, Darcy. Good on you. So when it comes to possessions, the first church knew how to help one another, how to love one another. Now, I wonder how long it took. Listen to this. I wonder how long it took before someone decided they needed to hang on to some of their stuff. In the book of Acts, we had people doing amazing things, getting rid of everything that they had. But somewhere along the line, between the early church and to the church today, something has happened. What? And I wonder if, when we started holding on tightly to our bank accounts and our things, I wonder if we sound like a flock of seagulls. Have you ever been to the beach when someone's feeding the seagulls and they're ravenous and loud, aren't they? You throw one chip and all of a sudden there are 20 seagulls there. And you throw out another chip and there are 40 seagulls and they sound horrible. Have you ever been to the beach and done that? The movie Finding Nemo captured them perfectly. Let's watch this. Oh, that's Pastor Kerry down on the beach. You just shut up, you know. I wonder if sometimes that's exactly what we sound like to God when we start talking about our money and our stuff. How can we break out of this mine attitude that hasn't been given to us by God, but has been given to us by the world? How have we let the world creep into the church that we can think It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. This is a tough message. I understand. It's tough for me. I've been working on this for a couple of weeks. It's tough. I've had to grapple with it. In your outline, number one, let's go there. Hang on and stay with me, okay? Number one, release your grip. Release your grip. The passage in Acts says not one of them claimed that anything belongs to him was his own. The first church had a loose grip. And in the case, they were quick to say, some people would say, they just didn't have a lot, so it was easy for them to have a looser grip. Rubbish. Remember Ananias and Sapphira, struck dead because they lied about how loose their grip was. This is simply not the place to make an excuse for being seagulls. Because the truth is, it's not ours. It never was. It's God's, and we are the bank. He invests in us and hopes to see a great return on his investment. And his measurement for that good return is how we love others with what we have. I'll repeat that. God's measurement for that good return is how we love others with what we have. Same as our spiritual gifts. They are not ours. They are for others. We have to release our grip. It's not ours. Trust me, this is a hard sermon for me to hear, just as it is for you. It's not a simple message of give to the church. This is not the standard giving message that folks grumble about. Oh, every time I go to church, they're talking about money. It's true though, isn't it? And you know what? If you're in that place today, if you're in that place, oh, he's talking about money. He's talking about money. It's okay. It's all right because you are on a journey. You know what? I used to be like that. Many, many years ago, I used to be like that. I used to be mine, 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 mine. Church wants money. Hey, mine, 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 mine. You're on a journey. And I pray today something will break in your generous spirit. That you will become more generous in your spirit. All right? I don't know what it is. We're not meant to talk about parenting. We're not meant to tell people how to parent their new babies or parent their children because that's just touchy. Rubbish. If you see a parent struggling, go out and give them some advice, especially you older folk that have gone through there, been through that. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to help each other. Same thing with our finances. We're to help each other. It'd be easy to say, give it all to the church. And we'll be your clearinghouse. And of course, we'll keep some for administrative costs. But the truth is that the first church didn't demonstrate their love by giving to the corporate entity called the church. They loved by sharing everything with one another by giving it to the personal entity called the church, the people. And though the apostles were helping with the distribution, clearly they weren't maintaining the lawns and purchasing curriculum. Now hear me say, there isn't a thing wrong in the world with lawns and curriculum. The fault comes when we fail to meet the needs of other people because of lawns and curriculum. That's what we need to be careful about. So you need to release your grip. Number two, tighten your belt. Now, you might be thinking there, well, that's easy for some to do. It's hard for me at the moment, all right? I can't tighten my belt anymore or I'll be a number eight. No, you didn't get it. Do you get that? What did the zero say to the number eight? Nice belt. Anyway. Some slow people here this morning. Making room in our budgets. Okay, tighten your belt. Making room on our budgets to help people. That's exactly what the first church was doing. In Acts 4:34-35, it says, "For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land and houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet." See this chest? The first century church wasn't keeping chests. They weren't storing up for a rainy day. They weren't hanging on to their personal property. They were liquidating. They were getting rid of it so they could demonstrate their love for the church. Now, I'm not proposing that we go home and ring up the real estate or ring Jenny and say, "Hey, Jenny, could you imagine that? A couple of hundred people ringing Jenny tomorrow and say, 'I want to sell my house.'" She'd be going, "Oh, that's great." I'm not proposing that we sell everything and move into the auditorium together. I'm not. Okay? I'm simply suggesting that our lifestyles, mine included, keep us from being generous with people around us. And it's time to tighten up our belts just as those in the early church were doing. This is what I mean about playing church and being church. I want to start being church and not just playing church. Now, we live in this world today, in our society today, where you just need to look at the news and everyone's scared. Everyone's fearful. What the markets are doing, what the governments are doing, what the wars that are going on. We are the church. The gates of hell will not prevail on the church. Amen. So we've got to start being the church. Maybe I need a less expensive car. Oh, that's hard for me to say. Or it's time to drop Foxtel. Or maybe I just need to live in some kind of budget so I can meet the needs when they are presented. For example, the single mum who's riding the bus to work because her car is broken down. The family whose dad just lost his job, who might also lose his home. Did you realise that in Australia today, over 70% of people are only 5 weeks away from being bankrupt? 70% because of their mortgages. Their mortgages, if they lose their jobs and they're the only income winners, guess what? What are they going to do? 5 weeks away from being bankrupt. It's an incredible statistic. It's a scary statistic. The retiree who has to choose among his or own prescriptions because they can't afford all of them. There are people today that can't afford their medication. They have to choose which ones they can afford to have. That's scary. Promising college student who may have to drop out because of lack of funds. See, I'm not talking about the homeless folk on the street corner. We do need to help them too. But by the way we communicate love for our church is making sure that we aren't neglecting the needs of one another. And here's a hard statement to say. The only way we can do that is if we know what those needs are. And this is what I've been doing over the last 4 weeks, is trying for us to build a community of brothers and sisters as I love my church. I love my church. Do you love your church? Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying it's your responsibility to tell us what those needs are. I'm saying it's our responsibility to know one another deeply enough to recognize their needs. To look well past the fences each of us have erected and actually get to know each other. Remember the first week I spoke, or second week I spoke about the fences that we put up? Our front yard is our face here. This is our front yard. Then there's a fence, and then there's the real arse in the back here. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be in the backyard. We should know. We should be wanting to get to know people. And as I said, you can't get to know everyone. That's just stupid. But you can get to know a few people. And don't sit in that seat and say, oh, no one says hello to me. Go and say hello to someone. That's our call. And when you're finally able to peer past the fence, we need to be ready to act what we see, because we've tightened up our belts. And once we've loosened our grips and tightened up our belts, then we have the opportunity to, number three, give it all away. Who's squirming? It's all right. It's a natural response. If you're squirming in your seat, it's a natural response that the world would want you to have. But it's not a natural response that God wants you to have. Once the first church ditched its mine mentality, no one ever had a need. Needs were always met. So fervently met, this passage says in Acts 4:33-34, and with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all, for there was not a needy person among them. Wow. And what was the result of this generosity? Testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Wow, wow. People knew the truth of Jesus because the apostles in the first church, century church, were busy giving their money and possessions to one another. It wasn't a service project. It wasn't a homeless shelter. It wasn't a mission project. It was one another. The testimony was present because they were loving one another. This is just an awkward message, isn't it? And frankly, an awkward passage. Now, this week I had a hard week preparing this. I had the Connect group pray for me. She shared with them. I said, I'm I want to be the senior pastor of the church, and I want to get up. I don't want anyone else to come in and teach about giving or tithing or being generous. I want to be able to clearly tell you what the Bible says about being generous, about giving, and about loving one another. And I thank you for my Connect group for praying for me this week. It starts with God in us. As I said, we're all on a journey. Some of you may not be there yet. If we can't be generous with our own, how can we be generous out there? If we can't be generous with our own brothers and sisters in this place, how can we support missions? You know, we've spent centuries trying to get beyond the four walls of the church to impact the community, to become more than a holy huddle or a spiritual country club. And now it feels like this passage is saying that we got that all wrong. But that's not what I'm saying at all. I think it's I think it's the illustration simply saying that in our passion and fervor to reach beyond our walls, we can never forget also to reach within. We have the needs represented in this room right this very second that probably not a lot of us know about. I personally know of a few families right now in this room that are struggling big time at the moment. No fault of their own, but they are struggling big time. Maybe you recognize your situation a few moments ago as I was illustrating. And actually, those illustrations that I spoke on are some people in this room, our own brothers and sisters. Or maybe it's another need that you may know of. We must be loving our church. These people who are our church, enough to see those needs. And then, like the first church, we must be willing to sacrifice it all to those needs. You want to do something crazy this morning? Do you want to do something crazy? You want to do something crazy and courageous? Come on, do ya? Do ya? You do ya? Come on, I'm going to give more years every time I say do ya. Do ya? Do ya? You want to do something really crazy? Yeah, Jared? You're getting really excited, aren't you, mate? You're on the edge of your seat. You want to do something really, really, really crazy? All right. All right. You're with me, brother. You ready? You ready to do something really crazy? Let's get crazy. I'm probably not selling my house. Oh, I'm doing something crazy. Oh, I'm doing something really crazy. Sally's birthday Monday. Sorry, hun. I love my wife. She just said, bring it on, baby. She's got a generous heart. I'm probably not selling my house or getting rid of my car today, but in my wallet right now, I don't know what I had in there, maybe $60, $64. It represents all I have right at this minute. What if each and every one of us did that right now? What if each of us gave just what we have in our wallets right now and put it in the trunk? You really want to do something crazy and courageous? What if each of us gave just what we had in our wallets? Maybe it represents the dome coffee that we're going to have after church, or maybe it represents the lunch after church. Maybe it's just the change that we have left over after our recent run to the shops. Whatever it is, it's all we have right at this moment. Some of you may have a cashless society, and if you want to put in some Visa or something like that, you've got the notes on the back. We have brothers and sisters in our congregation that are hurting so much at the moment. And please, this is not a guilt trip. Just if you don't want to, I'd rather you don't. I want you to give with a cheerful heart. Bless you guys. And what if we ask God to bless this offering that we're about to give and to use it to communicate the love of our church? His people, not his building. Totally to his people that are struggling. In Books Acts 35, and what ends up in this box, it says in Acts 4:35, distributed to each as any had need. I said to the Lord this week, I said, I want to get up there and be a blubbering mess. Oh. But your generosity is making me a blubbering mess. Oh, dear. Can I have the music team up, please? Hey, was that good? Is that good, Jared?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. What you've just done. What you've just done. Has pointed the people to Jesus Christ. What you've just done, and there's some families in this room that don't know that they're going to be receiving some of this. What you've just done has brought them closer to God. What you've just done in your generous heart has excited the spirit within. Blessings will come. I love my church. You know, God wants us to be a people who share our needs as generously as we share our possessions. We must share our needs with each other. Maybe you've become vulnerable and you feel ashamed or embarrassed to share those needs, but you must share your needs. Maybe you need someone to pray with you about God's intervention on your behalf. If we're going to be serious about being committed to transformation in Jesus' name, we need to start acting as a true community of God. I think what you've done today just cements that fact that Hillside Church is a community of believers, is a community of brothers and sisters, is a community of people that have love for one another. I love my church.